Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
We were so caught up in first world problems like my iPhone speakers and fighting about snowflakes that I forgot to mention some significant Blues news.
Yeah.
Steve Ott, of course, has been hired by the Blues as an assistant coach. I think a lot of fans are all in on that. We'll have a great guest to talk about it here coming up shortly. Kelly Chase is going to join us any minute.
Cam is also the coach in waiting, I think, right?
Yes, is that how that works?
Yes, yeah. Yes. They already offered me a couple contracts. I had to turn it down because I love my radio show.
Well, leverage. Leverage is the thing. You always keep them wanting, you know, they make them really earn it.
Oh, no, I know.
You know what,
Cam? They're going to work for this, baby.
If at some point you get there and you're going to have to move your office, you know that you can use Office Essentials?
Can I, though?
You can. If you're remodeling, moving, or expanding your office, which you will be doing all those things. When you're head coach of the St. Louis Blues, you should use Office Essentials. Use the company, KFNS, us, used and recommends Office Essentials. I, Tim McKernan, worked with Chris Fortune.
You're not Tim McKernan.
Yeah, I've just read the copy.
Oh, okay.
And he
just read the copy. Yeah.
And he provided us with drawings and space planning that really made a difference. They even have the cool 3D drawings, which I, Tim McKernan, helped to visualize the space.
So smooth.
They've got a large showroom with furniture for every budget, and they have design staff that cares about their clients and their experience. Whether you need furniture for an office of one or 100, Office Essentials team of designers can help you plan the perfect office space from drawings to installation on time and budget. To get more information or contact Office Essentials, visit RethinkTheEssentials.com and click on the KFNS logo. Ben, you'll probably do that later.
Of course. I'm going to give you a gong for reading as
Tim McKernan.
Tim McKernan.
Douglas Elvin Vaughn.
Another beloved guest on the show is joining us now on the Appliances Counter phone lines. We bring in Kelly Chase, Blues Radio analyst, brought to us by Petromart.
Hey, Blues fans, it's time to drop your gloves and face off on the St. Louis Blues Report with Kelly Chase. Fueled by Petromart, a proud sponsor of your St. Louis Blues. Now, here's Chaser.
Chaser, good morning. How you doing?
Morning, boys. How are you?
Chasse. What's up, buddy?
Not much. What a game last night, huh?
Oh, dude. What a battle. Go ahead.
I couldn't believe that they hung it. I really thought Pittsburgh was going to come back home and just light them up. And I got to give that group, the group in Ottawa proves that you do something together, boy. You know, the will skill thing may not win every time, but it takes it to game seven every time. But did they ever prove that? Well, that was awesome.
And they were so hard on Crosby. I mean, Mark Methot, who I love, by the way, played against him in juniors. He still doesn't wear a visor. He's one of the few left in the league that doesn't wear a visor. He was all over Crosby. Crosby looked concussed a couple games ago. He comes back and dominates. He's got to be hurting, Chaser, right? I mean, my God.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's not the same. You know, when you watch the movie that we did there, Ice Guardians, and Dave Schultz says it best. He said, you think Sidney Crosby's protected, but you don't think he might want to be? And I say it all the time. Look, we're not going back in time because, you know, it's just a different way of life and a different era and, you know, whatever. But, boy, I'll tell you what, do players, our league, in my opinion, they keep talking about how it's policing itself. We don't do a very good job of protecting our best players because this kid has been hurt and hit more times in a year than Gretzky has in his career. And boy, he's playing extremely hard, but he's not the same player he was when he got concussed.
No, he's not. But did you see, even like by the bench, they're spraying him with water. They're spraying his gloves. And I noticed that it's not like they're spraying their gloves and he's still on the play and try to grip your stick when your gloves are soaked. It's ridiculous. I mean, Chaser, all somebody needed to do, honestly, to Mark Methot was just not jump him, not do anything, but just challenge him and call him out in front of everybody. Maybe that'd slow him down a little bit, but you don't have that. And it's tough to find a guy that could play in the playoff caliber.
I would have done it a little differently, Jance. I would have just Ian Cole stood around and they, you know, played grab ass there with with everybody when they had that game that was out of reach, and they were abusing him, abusing the guys, and that bothered me. And my whole thing on the drama on that was that if I could do anything in that whole play and how I would handle it, I would have just grabbed a hold of Turris and straightened him around a little bit and then said, well, you know, this is how we want to play. You guys have dictated that. Clearly, you've decided that we're going to abuse Crosby. So it's going to be awful terrible for Kyle Turris, and you can go back to the bench and remind Kyle of that every single time. I just don't think the Pittsburgh Penguins, you watch and see, they're going to go after Cody McLeod. They're going to try and make a trade for a guy like Ryan Reeves. You watch and see, because I guarantee you Rick Tocchet is just barely able to keep his composure on that bench the way he played as a player, and watch what's going on right now in the playoffs. I think he's probably already had discussions upstairs with Jimmy Rutherford, who was my GM when I was in in Hartford, who, you know, we had Mark Jansen and we had Scotty Daniels and we had Stu Grimson, and I was there. Like, he's not about to watch his stars like that continually end up in the infirmary.
Do you think Nashville and everyone else played Tarasenko that difficult compared to what they did to Sidney Crosby? There's just no comparison. They were all over Crosby. And do you think they would have been like that if they did have a Ryan Reeves or Jared Bull? Just their presence. There's no way in hell that they would have got away with all that kind of stuff, taunting them, spearing them. It was just absolutely ridiculous, man.
The Edmonton Oilers were bullying the bullies, which Anaheim were bullies. In Anaheim, Edmonton was bullying them until Jared Bull came in the lineup, and it all dictated and changed. So you can say whatever you want about it. I mean, if guys can get around the ice and play and not just be one-dimensional, and they're tough guys, like what Edmonton's established in with their guys that they've got with Cassian, Lucic, Maroon, and Greiba, it made a huge impact on the way that their team could play and feel comfortable. And you don't have to worry. When 97 and Sidney Crosby are the two best players in the league, and when they don't have to look over their shoulder, it's going to be pretty effective. And that's exactly what happened. They got those guys to make sure that there was a comfort level for all of their young players, and that's why they had the season that they had. And I don't think anything changed in that series until Jared Bull came out and got in everybody's face real quick. And then it kind of – I don't want to say that Edmonton didn't go away, but they weren't as physical. They weren't as tough. They weren't as mean as they were in the previous games. And the outcome, you know, was a result of them playing a little different.
Well, let me switch topics real quick. I mean, but you look at the Cody McLeod and the Jared Bull situation, where Bull runs a guy over, McLeod comes and engages him, doesn't grab him, but they both drop their gloves at the same time, but McLeod gets an extra two and they get scored on. That was saying that, I saw the penalty on Phaneuf last night in the third period. When on an icing call, they call an interference penalty on Dion Phaneuf with 5 minutes to go in the third period. What's your take on how the refs have been handling the fights and the makeup calls in the third period? What's your take on the whole playoff series with the referees?
Well, I think that, like, and I'll go back to the one that Ryan Reeves got called in that scrum with Cody McLeod. It was an extra penalty. And you have a 0-0 game. You've allowed all these scrums the entire time, and then you decide in a 0-0 game you're going to give probably one of the worst calls I've seen in for understanding the game in the playoffs in a long time. And it resulted in a goal and, you know, 1-0 game. Like, you just can't change the momentum and pull the momentum. It changes the way you play, the dynamic of everything. There's too much money at stake to make a call like that. That's just, you know, an uneducated guess on what you think. And even if you think that's what happened, it was a scrum. You could have, if you just analyzed the entire play, you could have given out 5 penalties, or you could have given out none. You could have, you know, which is none is the right call, and let the players settle the game. There should never be a discussion after the game on what a call was made that changed the game. And I think that you just, you know, if you're not calling that scrum play in the first period, you can't call it in the third. And as a player, you know yourself, you dictate. The play is dictated by how they've called it early in the hockey game. And if you give a team a chance to recover, that's fine. But if you have called nothing for 2.5 periods and you decide that now this is the time, well, terrible timing on the referee's part, not understanding the emotions that players, at high level emotions that players play with. And especially when you do it to them in the third period, one of the worst calls I've seen. And again, it's the same sort of thing. You get confused by it because you played a certain way all night, and and they've allowed it. And that's really what the what I think you know is confusing to the players is that they've you know the game has been dictated in a certain way the entire game, and all of a sudden it changed.
Well, they don't know what's what, and we can go into it, and the goalie interference calls too, but we'll touch that on another time. But let's switch over to the Blues real quick. They signed as assistant coach a good buddy of both of ours, a guy that I played with in juniors, and just one of those pests on the ice, but you know he's a leader in the locker room, and that's exactly what they probably brought him in for. Not to mention he played over 800 how many games in the NHL. He's a veteran, and I think they brought him in for a lot of different reasons. But what's your take on Steve Ott being assistant coach?
Well, it's a great move because it's a conduit between the players in the modern era and the coaching staff and management. And he's saddled up to the players for his entire career, but yet he was a coach-type figure when he played. Mm-hmm. And now he's going to be able to listen to the meetings and the coaches' side and the management side of it. And he'll have a perspective because he was just in the game. I often say I think some of the best moves and general manager moves would be made are from guys that just leave the game because they know who is tough to play against and who wasn't and who's not going when they need to be and who should be. So I think Steve Ott's got a tremendous read on that. He's a quality guy with integrity, and he's going to hold accountability on the team as well because they respect the way he played, and they've sat in the locker room, most of them, with him. So.
Yeah,
I think much like Marty Brodeur, he's going to get his nose in there and work hard to understand the game well. And everyone sort of knew as a player what kind of guy he was going to be when he left the game, and they're giving him that opportunity. He'll never shortchange you with work ethic and honesty, and that's all you ask. And I think he's a great – that's an unbelievable move by Army to recognize that and to have that established relationship with guys. I think it's important, and I think that's what Otter brings in. So
I think
a great move by the Blues.
No doubt about it. And I also think he's probably the one guy that can go to 91 in the locker room and say, hey, get your ass going. We need you tonight. And I think Vladimir Tarasenko could look at Steve Ott, who he played with, who he respects, who Otter stuck up for, and say, you know what, Otter? You're right. I do need to get my ass going. I think he might be the one guy that could do that to 91 in the locker room. But real quick.
The one guy that can do that is 16. And I think if there was a way to try and harness some of Hully's emotion and mindset. They think a lot the same, and have them, you know, maybe, you know, somehow have chats with him once a month and once every 2 weeks. I think it would help his game too, because the potential to score 60, 65 goals is there. He's just not exactly lighting it up right now doing it. And I think that, you know, while he has good years and he shows flashes of greatness, I think a guy that scored, you know, 741 would be a big help to him as well as Otter.
Oh, you're damn right. What's the best case scenario for this expansion draft for the Blues? and I know. I want you to answer this too, damn it.
Actually, I'll tell you what it is. I think what it is, and it's no disrespect to him, is Yuri Lehterä gets picked because he's got the weight of a couple more years of salary on, and there's guys that they've proved in the organization that can play in that role. It's not maybe a comforting thing to say, but from a business perspective, it gives the Blues the luxury of having the young guys move into that spot who have a little bit younger feet under them and get out of a contract that's going to weigh them down for a couple more years and give them some options in free agency. So that's probably the best scenario. That's probably not what, you know, Yuri would want to hear, but I think that it's just the business part of it that I think that aspect of it is. And Jans, I don't know if you're making it over to our Alumni Association meeting, and I hate to bounce on you guys, but I got my early part of it here in about 5 minutes. So
I'll be in there. I'll be in there at 11:30, dude.
Okay. Okay, boys.
Hey, Chaser, thanks for your time, man. We really appreciate great insight as always, and thanks for making some time for us this morning.
You guys know you can talk once in a while too. You don't have to let.
Well,
No,
Jams got me like pinned down. Dude, I was gonna get your pick for the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's where you're wrong, Chaser.
You know what? I'm not positive. I would like to see Nashville win it because I've been there for the round after us. But Pittsburgh has won already, so I'd like to see Nashville win it. But you can't. I don't know. Nobody.
Who knows?
We've been counting Pittsburgh out every round, so.
right, man. Well, we'll let you run. Next time we'll put Cam on mute and ask you some questions. But that was great.
Yeah,
Plowsy
will turn his mic off.
See you, Chasse. See you, buddy.
So much, you know, you got to let him roll.
He's doing great. See you, Chase. Thanks.
Here's the funny thing. He doesn't have a meeting right now. He just didn't want to answer
He's like, hey, man, he's making me
pick Cam's like, that doesn't start till 1:30.
What the hell is he talking? I'm going to be there 11:30. What the hell are you talking about, Chase? I was going to ask him about another question I was going to get to him. I go, why are we sharing an affiliate? How did that go down, Chaser? Yeah. I know you know. I got a lot of questions for him. And also, one other question that a text line sent in yesterday that I agree, that I said, yes, we do. I would make this trade right now. It would be Fabry, a first-round pick, Barbashev, and Vince Dunn for Jonathan Tavares. And I say, hell yeah, I would make that trade. No doubt.
I would make it contingent on an extension. Because for 1 year of him is not going to work.
But the funny thing is, he's making almost, he's only making $5.5 million.
Yeah, $1 million more than Laterra.
I know. And Chaser also said, and I know Laterra doesn't want to hear this. Oh, sorry, Chaser. He is hearing it all over the damn place, I'm telling you. But I had a ton of questions for him. But he does have a meeting. We have a Blues alumni meeting coming up here. So
the affiliate thing is fascinating to me. And I don't know that it's a huge deal, but it just seems how does this happen?
It is a huge deal.
It's a huge deal.
So it just seems to me like it's disorganized. Someone didn't work something out, and all of a sudden it blew up in their face.
It's botched. The whole thing. The Blues were trying to do something, and they botched it. This is all theory. Of course, I don't know anything. I'm just telling you, you don't just lose your affiliate to the new guys.
It seems like kind of a big deal.
They were trying to maneuver something, botched the whole thing, and now they're the odd man out, and they're like, can we still put our guys here?
And that happens. And look, our guys are going to be, you got to think of it like this. Could you imagine Tage Thompson, if Barbashev's down or whatever the case is, you got your superstars there. Now you got the Golden Knights superstars. Who's going to be first line power play? Who's going to be second? Who's going to be first penalty kill? They're going to be fighting for different opportunities to develop these young guys. And not to mention Chicago's owner, who doesn't care about developing the players because he doesn't care about the Blues or the Golden Knights. He cares about winning himself as a Wolves.
Time out for 1 second, because that seems like a problem to me.
It is a problem.
Because like the guy in Memphis, the Memphis Redbirds staff is not going, hey, we got to put the best team on the field today.
Ben, no, I think that's
you're
why
trying to win, but you're trying, if the Cardinals tell you, hey, we want Sierra, or, you know, we're going to put Sierra in Memphis instead of Springfield, and we want to hit him lead off and starting center every day, you do it.
Cam, there's a theory on the text line from the 618 that says, and actually you sort of had a part of this theory. It says, my guess of the Blues are doing Vegas a favor in return for a side agreement that they'll take Laterra. Mm-hmm. There's no way you give up a player and say you can have our organization.
And we're going to have this absolute cluster of
There's just no way that's true.
We're going to have guys, are some of our guys, in, spread out all over the American League.
And it's going to be running the wrong system.
Exactly. Look, in Albany, when I play for the Devils, you get sent down, you're still playing the exact same system. So whenever you do get called back up, you know exactly what you're doing. You don't have to think, you react to the play. And I say in hockey, when you go into a new system and you got a coach coming up and drawing new plays out, like this is what we're going to do, you are a step behind no matter what because you're thinking instead of reacting.
Hey, Ben, we're going to send you down and we need you to start writing about horse racing for a while then croquet. But then when you come back, we need you to be really good at covering the Cardinals.
He probably would do that.
The idea,
really
I mean, can a snowflake apply? Because I'm all, no, the idea of a developmental league being all about winning, it doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. No one cares
but,
if
so
you
that
win,
makes me wonder what's really going on there.
Well, they're actually,
no one should be in that business if they're concerned about
but
winning.
But they're privately owned. That's the thing. They're not owned by the Blues, so they are there to make money.
And I get their logic.
That's fine. The Blues just don't need to be a part of that.
Don't need to be a part
of that. Which is why I think there was some backdoor maneuvering, and they ended up botching it, having nowhere to go.
Start your own affiliate. Make Cam the coach. That can be his entryway to being the coach.
No, he's already the coach and waiting for the Blues.
Well, he's got to get some skin in the game here. He can't just go, I mean, no
I'm
offense,
part owner
but like,
too, baby.
Tell that to John Lynch.
You think you're going to go Ott just straight to the bigs?
Well, no, he's going to go way past Ott.
I could do whatever
Ott
I want.
Ott is an assistant to an assistant. Yeah. Cam is head coach in waiting.
Can I push back on one thing there? Because I think you and Chaser had a fascinating point. Like, he is a guy who can kind of be the go-between between the staff and the players, and
Absolutely.
He can go in there and hold guys accountable. I guess the flip side of that might be that it's hard to coach the guys you played with. I mean, it's hard to go in there and tell a guy when you're not out there on the ice, tell him what to do. How do you manage? How do you walk that line? Because I can see it being really good, and I can also see it being like, this is tougher than I thought.
You're still on the other side. So Otter has never been, he's always been with the player's player in the locker room, doing this, being a leader, busting his ass on you, bleeding for his team. Now you're on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got to go make look. But there's ways to do that. You could still, you could be that player, and that's what they want him to do. They don't, they want him to be that player coach. Hey, you, he can go talk to Vladdy. He can go talk to Petra. If there's things going on, he could hold a meeting. He can go up and do these, those kind of things. That's where I think that's exactly what they want him to do. But again, you're on the other side now for the first time ever in your life. You're going to have to, you can't be too buddy buddies with these guys. You still got to be hard on them. You still got to go up to the head coaches and Doug Armstrong and be like, hey, I don't like what he's doing. Here's my opinion. Maybe we should sit him out or trade or whatever the case is. You are definitely on the other side, but there's a balance, a fine line that you got to figure out. And I think Otter will do a good job with that.
I think it's going to be, I think the fans will love seeing him. And I know you don't make moves because of that, but you know, and especially when the, if a team, if the Blues can be criticized, it's for sometimes lacking that killer instinct. What you put, you just put a guy on your bench who represented exactly.
He's not on the
that.
Bench. He's gonna be the okay. eye in the sky. But who cares? He's in the locker room between the periods. He's come, so he's gonna sit next to Doug Armstrong, Marty Brodeur, Al MacInnis. He's gonna do the notes. He's gonna look. He's gonna analyze the game. Take his notes down. And he's gonna go down, talk with the coaches, and then being with the coaches, meaning he can go talk to the guys between locker rooms. So he's gonna be there. He's just not yet on the bench.
Got it.
That's next step.
No, that's a good clarification. What will be his role? Not in games. Will he be on the ice?
He will be on the ice. He'll be the last one off the ice every single day. He'll be the first one on the ice, just like you would as a fourth liner. He's going to get all the young guys, work with them, do his thing during the practice, and afterwards stay and take shots and all that stuff too.
Cam, there's this thing on the morning show called the Hot Shot Suspension Logule. And what you can do is you can find one of their 11 area locations at hotshotsnet.com and swing by today for lunch. Try the brand new Red Hot Riplet Wings and Burgers. That is the Red Hot Riplet Wings and Burgers, Cam. I think you had somebody you wanted to put in the TMA version of the penalty box. It is the suspension logule.
Oh, yes, I do. Matty Whitener is going into the suspension.
Matty Whitener, that is our co-host and our producer on the Johnny Lana Farmer.
He's not even here to defend himself.
Well, he shouldn't get to defend himself for this.
No. The dog whisperer. That's his new name.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, if you suspend Matt Whitener, you have to use the Right Business Products pin. You can brand your business the right way. They're a locally owned and operated business that can brand ink pens, like Doug Vaughn's, business cards, canned coolies, magnets, and much, much more. Call Brian Mode at 618-277-4109 to get started today.
So tell us the backstory on putting Matty Whitener in the hot shot suspension logule.
You had this discussion on air. Was this a backroom take?
No, this was all on air. Okay.
Oh, this was on air. And this was like, this is live and ready.
Matt Whitener is suspended for...
Oh, he compared.
He's suspended for a period of 2 days.
Time. 2 days time. He compared a what's his name again?
Okay, here's what happened.
Go ahead.
We were discussing different things. At one point, I think he said Michael Vick could still play in today's league, kind of thing. Like the old Michael Vick would still be very good in today's league. We got into talking about him, and Eric Messersmith said that, man, when you're writing that dude's book, though, paragraph one is the dog thing.
Which I agree.
False.
I disagree wholeheartedly. I think it's Madden rating. And if you ever played Madden or followed football at all, you're like, fastest human on the planet.
But I didn't, and that's why I still
right.
did that.
So anyway, and Matty went on to say, I just don't think the dog thing's a big deal. And I actually, on the part
wait,
of...
Wait. He said he didn't think it was a big deal at all? Or a big... Because there's a difference there between... I don't think it's the first chapter, but I think it's a big deal.
He said he's...
Didn't think it's a big
he's
deal.
He's seen stuff like that and whatever.
And we're like... Right.
Anyway, I was more with him than like end of the world. Because what happens is you cast him out forever, which I'm not with.
No, I'm not with that either.
And so I was saying I don't think it's a paragraph one for sure. But I also like... It just always... this happened, I think, when I was like 12 or 13. And I'm like, he's going to jail? This is weird.
That's another thing I don't agree with.
Yeah,
either.
So that to me was weird.
I want him to go to jail. I just don't... You know,
it seemed weird. So anyway, it got brought up. We ended up talking about more sports figures and Riley Cooper and his whole thing at the concert where he called the guy the N-word and whatever. And Maddie's like, well, that is way worse than the dog thing. And I'm like, whoa there, big fella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, electrocuting dogs, torturing them. I mean, come on. We kind of chirped him a little bit that, called him the dog whisperer now. And I went home and went next door to my parents' house, and I cuddled with their little pit bull, Tucky, and I told him everything's going to be okay, Tucky. Man. He's not going to come get you. You're going to be just fine.
So he suspended a period of 2 days' time.
2 days'
time. I will defend Maddie a little bit. He's still likes dogs. He took his dog for a walk right after that. He was just pointing out that he thought the Riley Cooper thing very much crossed the line, which he's right.
Some people, this is absolutely true, care more about dogs than people. I'm not kidding about
sometimes
that.
Like,
some
I
people
do.
Care more about I animals
do.
Than people.
Sometimes I do.
I do, but
I don't get it.
I still don't think it's chapter one of Mike Vick's book, and I would agree I would have to say Madden writing, because I'm a Madden geek, and that was like the epitome of just the greatest Madden.
Like, if Cam, I'll just show you a single play. Overtime against the Minnesota Vikings, he just ran around the whole field, split two guys, and ran for like a 70-yard touchdown. You're like, this is a quarterback. What is happening?
No, I remember his dominance, no doubt about it. It just got just clouded with that whole incident. And for me, not the biggest football fan growing up, yeah, you can't, it's hard to rule that out. I've always had dogs my whole life, and what, I had to smack Maddie around a little bit, and he's fine.
What's crazy is, and I don't know that this is totally true, but in a lot of sense, because people love animals so much, they like throw him in this same place as Aaron Hernandez. I'm like, yeah, come on.
Oh, yeah.
One dude walked around and like serial killed anybody he felt like.
Or some nice domestic herbie. Violence.
You spilled a little bit of alcohol on my shoe, you should die.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Mike Vick, you're like, okay, you paid for some, but there is a big difference between animals and humans,
no,
contrary to popular belief, Plowsy.
But according to the law, Aaron Hernandez did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
True.
We missed the first part of that. Your mic was off. According to the law,
did basically nothing. He killed no one.
He has a slap in the face.
He has no record.
Wait, are we going to get into this debate?
No, it's not a debate, really. It's a bad precedent.
The fact that because he killed himself, that it doesn't.
Yeah, because he didn't have a chance. He didn't exhaust all of his appeals.
Yeah.
So in the eyes of the law, they're saying he wasn't alive to defend himself on appeals. Therefore, he is innocent.
But he's dead.
Right. It doesn't matter. The only difference now would be that he could potentially sue. This is why it's a bad setup. He could sue the Patriots for wrongful termination.
His estate.
His estate could sue. Yes, I'm sorry. But he can, his estate, like, this is a way to try to, the theory was this was a way to try to protect his estate, but there's a big difference between criminally and civilly. Like, OJ got sued. He was acquitted and still got sued and had to pay millions to whatever her name was.
Wow.
A lot going on.
Anyway, Hernandez, you know, sat right behind me, stabbing distance, of course.
And he was gay too, right?
And he probably had a crush on me, and I didn't even know it.
You guys could have hit it off, man.
Like, well, we were starting to. I didn't even know.
I haven't talked with you about this before.
Yeah.
And I know you've probably talked about it before, but I haven't talked to you about it before, so it's interesting to me. Like, what were your observations of?
Well, first of all, the circus followed me around for about 3 years. So Michael Sam came out when we were in college. Now, it was a year after I was there, but it was like the whole thing going. So I was there. Then I went to the Patriots. Hernandez killed people for fun. And then Tebow came to town. So like the circus just followed me around for like 2 years.
And you're just sitting there watching all
this. And I'm like, this is great.
So Hernandez, his rep was, I'm guessing, a guy that probably was a bit of a jerk. But
not at all.
No, not really.
Everybody loved him.
No kidding.
Yeah, everybody liked him. He was
although I saw a couple interviews where people were like, I had no idea where I stood with him. No idea where I stood with him. Ex-former player said that.
Like I said, he probably had a crush on me, but he was great to me. And
it's cute.
Yeah. So anyway, he
was great to you in what way? Like when you saw him in the locker room, he's like, hey,
like
man, how's it going? Or he's like texting you like, hey, how you doing? Good practice today. Like, what are we talking about here? Like levels of greatness. Because like,
there's a big line between Cam, like, you know this.
He's a great guy, but are you really friends with him? Were you, like, you know what I'm saying?
Nobody's friends with anybody in New England. But, Cam, you know this. There's a big line between rookies and vets.
No doubt.
And there are very few vets that cross over.
Okay.
He did. He'd say, let me show you how to do this. He'd run over, like, we're doing weights. Because you got a big thing. You go in there and you're supposed to lift weights by yourself in the offseason. Some of the coaches are there, but they're helping other people. And there's this big, long list of things you've never heard of. And he'd pop up. He was rehabbing a shoulder. Tore his labrum. He was rehabbing a shoulder. Came over. And he's like, let me show you how you guys how to do this. So he'd walk over. What's up? Let me show you. Hop up. Stop what he's doing. Run over, show you. And then go right back to what he was doing.
Like, when you say somebody in the locker room, if an older guy, like what Scotty Stevens and Marty Brodeur did for me, I'd say, oh, God, they were great. Well, were you guys buddies? When you were young, when I'm talking about my first training camp, no, he was great to me because he acknowledged me.
He acknowledged your existence.
He acknowledged my existence.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting to know that that's how Hernandez was in that setting.
I mean,
he really was, based on what you know about him.
He did this really, like he had something wrong with his knee, so he would rub Icy Hot on it, and he sat right behind me. It was the most annoying thing ever. He like kicked me 1,000 times, and I'm like, I'm just not going to say anything.
Well,
and
you're
looking back, I would have died.
Seriously,
that would have been like Patriots player dead, and then they've been like Patriots player killed him. And
but in Missouri, it would have been like former Missouri wide receiver TJ Moe. But then everybody else would have been like Patriots receiver.
Yeah,
we've localized the hell out of that here.
Former backup
SEC beef.
I could have gotten like a slideshow out of that, like best TJ Moe plays. I could have gone to.
You think you could do that? You think you'd do that? You give me a tribute if I died?
Oh hell yeah!
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but just for the clicks, though.
Well,
I mean, not for you. Just the web traffic.
Can I talk about Zero Res?
Yes. I want to revisit this, but yes, go ahead.
Real quick, Zero Res. Time to talk about my spring cleaning heroes at Zero Res Carpet Care. Wait, what? You weren't planning on getting your carpets cleaned this spring? Getting your carpet cleaned is not just about how your home looks. It's about your family's health. You know that bacteria? Allergens build up in your carpeting, crushing your hopes and dreams of clean, healthy indoor air? Only my guys at Zero Res Carpet Clear Clean will patent empowered water, not soaps or shampoos, so you get a healthy and clean home without soapy, crunchy, dirt-attracting residue. And when Zero Res is done, your home smells fresh and clean, not like a janitor's chemical closet. Ugh. Trust me, you'll appreciate the difference. Call today and ask for $590 special. Three rooms, Zero Resified, starting at $119. Yeah, three rooms, Zero Res Clean, starting at $119. But this price won't last. So call 314-474-2020. 314-474-2020. Online at ZeroResSTL.com. Zero Res, spell it backward or forward. It spells the same. Really?
That's the key to a good business.
Holy cow, that's kind of cool.
It's a key to any good business.
Damn right.
Spelled the same way backwards as it is forward. Quickly to the text line, we have to give away a text of the day, and I was going to give it to Chip Lay Baby. I got to make sure I'm reading that right. Sometimes they try to get me on the text line. He was wishing Deke Dotem a happy birthday, but then Deke texts in and says, "You guys sound hot." So Deke Dotem gets the text
him.
Of the day. Happy birthday, Deke.
Wow, Deke. I've always wanted to meet
I want to meet him.
Deke. Deke routinely defends me on Twitter. If anybody says anything mean to me, he says something like, "Have you ever wanted to feel a man on the small of your back?"
Yeah,
to everybody that ever said. So they're all
and you're just like, yes,
and they're
yes,
like,
I do.
And well, no, he doesn't say it to me. He says it to all the guys that are ripping on me. And
I
like,
I know from experience, he balls out of control up in Chi-Town.
He balls so hard.
Oh, he balls
often
hard.
Attends,
yeah,
often so attends Cubs Cardinals games. He is forever suspended by Doug Vaughn, unfortunately.
Not but by
the,
us though.
I think the campaign has gained steam, wouldn't you say, Plowsy? Maybe this can help him.
I want
maybe
him
this
to
should help his standing.
I want him to be our producer.
I don't think he's ever going to be freed, but I think Doug is coming along to the fact that he is a normal human being, somewhat, outside of the show.
Well, I'm not even coming around on that.
No. What, I don't want him
to be seems
normal.
Unreasonable.
We're not normal.
Mae Young's newborn hand. Guys, I think Doug looks great in jorts. He looks like he has a baked potato stuffed in there. Hoth.
Girthy.
Wow.
Hoth.
Wow.
Baked
Doug's
potato.
Not even here and he gets it. That's how bad it is. Poor guy.
Yeah.
Poor guy. I feel bad for Doug. So back to Aaron Hernandez for 1 second.
Yeah.
Like when you found out the news, like just your general, your instant reaction. No way, right?
I didn't go there. Well, like you think, you get around guys and first impressions are a big deal, of course, but you also just get a vibe from everybody. You're like, I could see that. Can't see that.
Yeah,
can't see that.
DJ,
You can't expect anybody to be a killer.
It's one thing to how they are around.
That he murders people for fun.
Yeah, but look, how he reacts to his teammates in the locker room. He has a completely different life outside.
No, 100%. But what I'm
you
saying
don't know
is,
how he is around his buddies and all that stuff.
Okay,
too,
but
so.
While all that stuff's true, there are some guys you're like, I could see a little bit more.
Oh yeah,
and he was the one thing about him was. He was just paranoid all the time. So later on, it came out that he was on this drug called Stardust. And this drug called Stardust. And it made you real paranoid. And so even you kind of stand too close to him. You know, he's kind of freaked out. Later on, we figured out, and it just came out recently in the second trial, that there was a guy out to kill him. One of his old best friends, his homeboy, who basically called him. So Hernandez shot him in the face. Remember, he lost his eye. He's got a glass eye.
Yep.
And left him for dead, and the guy in the hospital called Hernandez. Now, this is all according to his testimony, and apparently was believed to be not true because Hernandez was acquitted. But the guy said, you know, he shot me in the face, left me for dead. I made it, and in the hospital, I called Aaron and said, "Hey, homeboy, you better watch out here because I'm coming for you. I'm not going to the police. I'm not telling the authorities. I'm coming for you." So. Makes sense. Aaron was a little paranoid.
Could you imagine? Oh, dude.
Yeah, well,
you're with your family and your daughter, and you had that.
You wouldn't even put him, knowing the way that you know him, you wouldn't even put him in like your top five of like scariest teammates.
Well, like there's a bunch of guys that could crush my skull with their hand. So
no, I'm
not
talking about that. I'm talking about the guys that are a little unhinged.
Oh no, I played with some unhinged guys. Oh my gosh,
who's the most unhinged guy?
I don't want to tell you.
Me.
There were different guys, gosh, and this is I shouldn't even tell this story, but I will.
we were at Mizzou, and this is, I won't even call him Unhinged because the guy who got this earned it. So one guy, we were at Mizzou, mm-hmm. and the defensive linemen always fought like every day. They're just like, they chirped each other so much. Eventually one got pissed, would swing, and the other one would whatever. So they, every single day, and the defensive linemen aren't known for their IQ. So it's just, what'd you say? And then you swing. And, so one day there was a guy, I don't even remember his name anymore. He transferred to Louisiana Monroe, and, but we called him Juicy. That was his nickname. And he got upset with Kona Ely. And they were doing defensive line drills. Because we would always do 7-on-7. And we didn't fight with each other. We're a bunch of... We just run fast and hope nobody touches us. They are, like, actually playing like they got pads on in the end zone. And so Juicy got upset with Kona and swung on him. Kona dodged it, knocked him out in one punch. And we had to go get the trainer. The guy was out. It's a Rex Sharma. Rex! The guy's knocked out. Transferred the next day.
No way.
I'm not kidding.
Just because he was done. He was not told to leave. He said,
yeah, boys, I'm out of here. I need to find...
With a broken jaw.
He was out cold, dude.
That's nasty.
I did not realize this until after college that, sometimes in college, like, the offense, especially the offense and defensive lines on the same team don't get along.
Because
they're constantly going at each other in practice. Oftentimes, like, I mean, this is true at Mizzou. They're different kind
of
guys.
About to say, you got a bunch of country boys and then your other dudes. So, like the country boys are all just kind of hillbillies to themselves. That's all the white farm boys. And then our defensive linemen all at Mizzou, there's a couple white guys, but it's just like a cultural difference as well. But ours actually got along really well at Mizzou. They did. But I can tell you at different schools, I know that's not true. And in fact, you know, Just like anything, like it wasn't this way for me at Mizzou, but anytime it's like you're used to growing up one way and around a certain amount of certain people, like I went to Zumwalt West, we had like 30 black dudes, the whole school of like 3,000, you know, and then you get to Mizzou and it's just everybody in there. So there's no white guys good at football, right? We can't run fast. So, and then I got to the Rams and it was all actually the Patriots. We were all white, but with the Rams, it's like a black coach, every receiver's in there. I was the only white guy in there. So reverse that for the offensive lineman. We had a guy named Chris Freeman who came up from Ohio and grew up in a black neighborhood and everything, and then went with, and it was all a white coach, two white coaches, and all white dudes. So it is just a different culture that you got to get used to.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You guys have kind of like beefs within the team that I think oftentimes if things go right, they don't ever come to light, but sometimes they get it.
100% true. You know who I don't have beef with, Cam?
Who?
Ryan Kelly.
Oh, the man. R. Kelly, baby.
He is not that R. Kelly. He is a much cleaner version of R. Kelly. And actually, he's doing a loan for me right now, Cam.
Yeah.
I bought a duplex, and he has pushed it through as fast as humanly possible. Did you know that the average American household has over $16,000 in credit card debt, and over 70% of households have the equity in their home to get rid of it right this second, Cam? Right this second.
Oh, I know.
With a cash out refi with the Home Loan Expert team, you can get those credit cards paid off once and for all. Almost 70% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck, Cam. Almost 70%. And have less than $1,000 in their bank account. The Home Loan Expert team can help you save a few hundred dollars a month and skip a few months' mortgage payments. Let them help you stop living paycheck to paycheck. So, what you can do is call Ryan Kelly and the Home Loan Expert team, and they work hard so you don't have to. If you're looking to refinance or purchase a home, why would you go anywhere else, Cam? Why would you go anywhere else?
You just don't.
You call Ryan at 314-781-9700 or visit thehomeloanexpert.com, which I did, Cam. And he was, there's a guy named Monty that's working with me that has been unbelievable. And we will get this thing closed on June 9th. And it has been probably the easiest experience of my life.
Ryan Kelly is an unbelievably hard worker, man.
With the most energy. It's like he drank three monsters before every time I talk to him.
He's drinking some of Cam's special coffee.
On Mantality, too.
All right, boys. It's that time. We do it every Friday. Bertarelli Cuts of the Week.
Cuts of the Week are brought to you by Bertarelli Cutlery. Visit them on the Hill, online at BertarelliCutlery.com, or follow them on Facebook or Twitter at STL Knives. Cut one.
Plowboy, would you do play-by-play?
Currently, we got a fork and a wing right now.
God, this is so hot.
No, you have to chew it up.
Right.
And then... I don't think she know what Robin feeding is, so
no
I don't know if that's
does, right.
No one would.
It's a sophisticated thing.
Cut two.
Oh, our local YMCA has like
it's not a bathhouse.
Has a section in the male shower where it's like curtained off with like a U-shaped bench. And you can, like, steam it up. So people use that as, like, a steam room. Not necessarily a bathhouse, but people are naked. And after a nice workout, you just want to sweat it out.
Yeah, but why not just have a towel covering your love, bro?
How about some U-trowel?
Oh, I don't say I do it. Because just think about when you sit on that bench, how many sacks have...
Cut three.
Get rid of your double chin before talking trash to Matt Adams on my timeline.
Oh, wow.
They are going wild in the Mound City.
Don't say Mound City. Nobody here ever calls St. Louis the Mound City.
Well done.
It was the Mound City when the Cahokia Indians were here 1,000 years ago.
Cut four.
Also a force on this radio show is Jennings Jr., who apparently is in Las Vegas. I had no idea. He's probably out there for some kind of foot fetish activity. And you know who else was talking feet last night, Doug?
No, the Cubs
manager.
Oh, Madsy?
Yeah.
What do you have to say about it?
Take a listen, would you?
Okay, hit the lever plows in.
That was good positioning to begin with. That helped that play a lot. Not necessarily for it's just movement after his first step.
Routes.
Yeah, just feet. I mean, I'm into feet, man. I just like good feet. I don't have a foot fetish other than defense. I have a defensive foot fetish. I admit to it.
Huh.
Cut five.
She was found by her manager after Orlando had left the next day and was given the sack for fraternizing with clients, according to a close friend.
There's a quote again. Somebody made up the whole story.
The source told the Sun she was, quote, hurt by the sacking.
Stop saying sacking.
Oh, my God!
But did not regret the night of incredible sacks.
Oh.
The friend added... She said he had an amazing time and his body was very good. He was an exceptionally good lover.
Totally made up. Absolutely 100% made up story.
Why is that? You know Orlando Bloomin' any good?
How are you going to find the friend? And the friend is going to deliver the perfect quotes for your little story.
Facebin mutual friends?
I don't think so.
Cut six.
My buddies and the people that I know go out there want to try things for the first time. Like Tim said, the ecstasy. I'm sure the girls wouldn't mind finding an 8-ball of cocaine and a nice guy.
You're going out there just looking for drugs? You're looking for drugs you haven't ever done before?
These females want a different thing than just a guy buying her a cocktail and giving her a rose and a kiss at the end of the night. They don't want that. They want hardcore, passionate lovemaking. With cocaine and...
Oh, come on.
Listen to Tony Montana.
Cut seven.
Look at the husband.
The husband's like rubbing Larry down before he...
We got a chewing scenario. Larry is...
That's a sharp gold
chain. There it goes.
Thank you. Oh, great.
Oh. My parents told me to become an accountant.
She did it.
Boy, she didn't hesitate.
No, she didn't. That was a quick Robin feeding.
So the screaming, for those who missed it, was, as Pazzi just explained, Larry Nickel getting, what do they call it?
Robin
fed.
Never had that happen to you?
By a woman trucker at the live show.
I'm not sure what that means.
She chewed up a couple tater tots. Larry
in her own mouth.
You see Ace Ventura?
No.
Baby bird scenario. Larry, the baby bird, okay. The trucker, and the mom.
While we're at it, happy birthday, Larry Nickel, right? As always.
And yeah, congratulations.
It's a birthday month for Larry. We just send him happy birthday whenever you want.
Well, I was going to say he and Deke Dotem share a birthday because that would be insane.
Can I talk about 314 Sports real quick?
Go ahead.
Cool. 314 Sports, for all your baseball and softball needs, 314 Sports is a state-of-the-art training center, a baseball tournament company at the home of the St. Louis Redbirds Baseball Club. 314 Training Academy is also your one-stop shop for summer camps, and it's just $99 for a four-day camp. It's the best deal in town. Plus, you could add on to afternoons and Fridays. Boys and girls ages 5 to 14 get access to their entire training facility, and the camps are run by their team and certified instructors. Camps start June 5th and will fill up fast, so register quickly. Groups of 5 will be offered great discounts or mentioned. You heard it from Old Shore Hands Vaughn for a special, what the hell, for a special discount. Baseball camps at 314 Training Academy off Strassner Drive in Brentwood. It's a great weekly activity for teams of all ages. 314 Training Academy, featuring the state-of-the-art Hit Tracks Baseball Simulator. Call 314-963-1110 or visit 314sports.com.
Doug attributes his pristine athletic ability to 314 Sports. That's where that comes from.
Yeah.
Another thing that is a regular tradition on the Ryan Kelly morning after is the email of the day. So if you guys aren't ready, you got to get your pins out, and we're going to read these plays. We'll read them off, and then we got to rank them and pick a winner here.
I got a great memory. Let's do it.
I don't, but I'll write them.
You can borrow the Doug Vaughn
short
pin.
Short batch, but strong. Quite
short, strong, but strong batch.
Morn. In honor of TJ Moe sending McGregor's in San Diego into an uproar, a haiku. Harry Brown Mudloaf. Naughty tongue flicks the prostate. Runny brown skids. Think about it. Tunnels 12,000. It's a haiku.
I am thinking about that.
I have no idea what any of that means.
What the hell is he talking about?
I have no idea.
Just put two check marks down and get him in the finals.
Sounds hot.
After my two-week East Coast twink-topping tour, it's nice to nibble on some toasted ravies and listen to some familiar voices. Wait, that's not Tim. Doug, who's TJ Moe? Never heard of her. Has she ever been with a woman? That's the show, huh? Well, at least they'll be able to drive with both hands on the wheel without Doug's glutes lustily tempting me into self-inflicted hand stuff whilst I drive. That is from Doug Vaughn's illicit East Side lover.
Who is that girl?
That's hot.
TJ Moe.
Ahoy. So this is the show, huh? That's from Lefty Jacksmith.
Short and sweet.
I love Lefty Jacksmith. Hey, hosts. Lefty is hosting a shindig tomorrow afternoon at his pond in Shiloh, Illinois. Bring your appetite and some swimming shorts. All factions are welcome. That is from Recaps. Very short, sweet. I love these today. This is a good one. This is from the legend, the birthday boy. Hi. Some say the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup, but I disagree. I believe that the best part of waking up is peeing down the small of my gentleman lover's back while he eats fries off the tank lid. Think about it. That's from Deke Dotum.
Birthday boy, Deke Dotum.
With Doug not here and it's his birthday, it's nice to have a tribute to Deke and Doug get his email read on it.
Freaky Deaky.
All right, two more. And these are good. Hey, boys. Cam, my mom is afraid to leave me and my stepdad alone together for more than 5 minutes because we will bang. She chains us both up to the couch when we are all hanging out and she has to go number two or something. As an expert in gay bondage, can you tell me how to escape the chain so I can get my quickie in and then show me how to chain myself back up so she thinks nothing happened? Thanks. That is from Stubby Clap. I'm not quite for sure what that means.
I'll be over in a half hour.
All right, see.
You got to go to the Blues alumni thing, though. Make it fast. Make it fast.
I'll be over in an hour and a half.
Bring Chaser.
Chaser's coming with me. Chaser and Luke.
He'd enjoy that. He would really have a lot of fun here. And last one. Hey, guys. I've had a really tough start to Memorial Day weekend. For months now, I've had my Donald Plump cutoff tees, which has a sweet pic of Donnie all swollen lifting weights in the front of it. Jean shorts and snakeskin cowgirl boots laid out for going to the lake this weekend. For the past 2 years, though, I've kicked off the weekend by rolling over, kissing Doug, then performing manual on myself. Well, he's not here right now. I've tried everything. I just can't get it up there. Very similar to how you guys' scorching hot takes of having the fattest guy out of shape start on second base in the second inning would turn out. And even since Cam volunteered to be the new Doug, I YouTubed all hockey videos of him and it just won't work. I really need you guys' help. Can you maybe call Doug and put him on air? I can't show my face at the lake with these balls so blue. Regretfully, Mr. Nipples. And sadly, that is what we have.
Jesus.
I did like Mr. Nipples.
I like Lefty.
But also Deke Dotum, I think.
We did give Deke Dotum text of the day.
Okay, well then he's disqualified.
Just saying.
I like Mr. Nipples.
Can you read him again?
No, I can only handle once. I think Stubby Clap had a strong email. I think I'm going to go Mr. Nips, though.
Yeah, me too.
Mr. Nips?
Who doesn't love the Nips?
Email of the day. You know what he wins? A pair of Bud Bash Cardinals tickets for the 30th Intergate 4. Up to 2 hours before the first pitch, receive a free mini bobblehead of the featured player with autograph ready on the box. Each game is a different player. Whitey Herzog.
This time around. Cool.
Before we go, though, do you want to tell you about the Post Sports Bar and Grill? A lot of Cardinal game coming up
As we've said, not many days off. Come up and post up at the Post Sports Bar and Grill all season long for the Cardinals. Cardinal ticket giveaway live in-house during every Tuesday and Friday game. $3.75 domestic 22-ounce drafts and wells during the game, and a free Redbird shot for all Randall Grichuk home runs. Good luck with that. That is from the Post Sports Bar and Grill. Stay posted, my friends.
Thank you, Plowsy. Coming up next is the Frank Cusimano Show featuring Frank Cusimano. Just kidding. It's Hollywood Press Box. We will do the Lions Choice handoff show to Frank. He'll be in shortly. Thanks for letting us fill in here to close the week. Hope everybody has a good holiday weekend. And don't worry, the regulars will be back soon enough, and they'll be there Monday, I think. So yeah. All is well in your world. Thanks for letting us hang out with you guys. We'll see you next time.